This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
One could say happy 248th birthday, America, since the Declaration of Independence was signed there in 1776. But that was just the signing of a declaration. That had to be borne out in discipline. It had to be borne out through the flame of freedom. But what makes the Declaration so revolutionary? Above all, it says our rights come from God. John F. Kennedy expressed it so well in his inaugural address in 1961. He said, "The same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God." And in that sense, America is and always will be one nation under God, unless we were somehow to be cut off from the Declaration itself, in which case we would no longer be America. Because if we're not a nation under God, and recognizing that our rights come from God and not from man or man's government, then we are no longer the nation that we were purported to be and which was given birth in 1776. So one of the things that we're reminded of as we think about the birthday of America, that is the political birthday of America, the true birthday of America, of Americans, was not in 1776, but it was in 1607, with the landing at Jamestown in 1620, with the landing of the Pilgrims, and in 1630, with the landing of four boatloads of Puritans in Massachusetts Bay. But today we look at the political birthday of America, and we also look at the aftermath of that birthday. You see, a baby is born, but then has to be nurtured. A baby is born, but if it's not nurtured appropriately and continuously, its branches, its life gets bent in other directions that, well, were not anticipated and desired at the birth. It's no wonder during and after the war, the Revolutionary War, that George Washington said repeatedly how grateful he was to God for our incredible victory. In fact, in his first inaugural address, our first president said, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand," meaning God, "which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States. Every step," he said, "by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency." So we might say here, as we are ready to celebrate our 248th political birthday, may God help us not to squander such freedoms, nor let them sift through our fingers. Some thoughts from a friend of mine, Jerry Newcomb, who sent those to me today, and I thought I would share them with you. As we launch into the program today, talking about the flame of freedom. The flame of freedom. Is the flame of freedom going out? Is it barely seen through the dimness and darkness of American life today? And if so, is it possible to rekindle that flame of freedom? Which takes us back to 1777, a year after our national political birthday. It was the darkest hour of the American Revolution. Only 11,000 men remained in the ranks of the Continental Army. They had just completed a daring attack on the British at Germantown and had suffered heavy losses. Desertion was a serious problem. The troops were weary. They didn't have food. They were freezing. And the location was a place called Valley Forge. Today, even as we talk here on Viewpoint, we are facing our own Valley Forge. Maybe even more critical than the Valley Forge that George Washington and his troops faced in 1777. I'm so grateful I had the opportunity to speak there at Valley Forge and was actually given a special Medal of Freedom many years ago. In fact, it was about 30 years ago in which that was given. And I'm so grateful for that. But you see, the flame of freedom is waning. Freedom was born in the womb of God's grace through men of faith who were faithful. So, when Washington, in his first inaugural address, said no people could be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States, he was giving God the glory, not humankind, not American ingenuity, not our great natural resources, not the great wisdom of the Enlightenment. No, that's not what he was doing. In fact, 30 years later, 40, 50 years later, in 1830, a Frenchman by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville came over to these shores to try to figure out what it was that made America great. The two countries had had a revolution at somewhat the same period of time. France came out with the liberty, equality, and fraternity motto, out of which they got neither liberty nor equality nor fraternity. But they had blood running down the streets of Paris, with the heads being jumbled off of Madame Guillotine into tumbrils that roared down the city streets of Paris, and nothing was free and nothing was liberty. There was no liberty and there was no justice for any or for all. And because of that, France even declared Robespierre the Messiah. And one day later, the leader of the French Revolution had his own head cut off. So much for liberty, equality, and fraternity. But in America, things were very different. De Tocqueville said in his book, Democracy in America, having come over and studied America and what it was that was at the root of American life and freedom, he said, it wasn't until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness that I understood the secret of her genius and power. Amazing. Amazing. And today we continue to take a look at this flame of freedom. Is the flame of freedom going out? I believe, friends, that we are facing our own Valley Forge as we speak. I really believe that. In fact, everything points to a more serious time than even George Washington faced at Valley Forge. As Americans who believe in the cause of true freedom under God, we've become weary and have lost direction. Our feet are bloodied, our moral and spiritual clothes are tattered just like theirs were, and we've been on a spiritual starvation diet. We're weakened. Many of us have died morally, spiritually, and even in our churches, we need faith in America. Real faith. Not faith in faith. Not a patriarchally inspired, bootstrapped, emotionally hyped up faith. The faith we need is a faith in God who's preserved us a nation. We can't look to a charismatic leader or wait for some euphoric uprising of a good feeling from another Gulf War. We need faith in God Almighty, and we need it now. But there's no national faith without personal faith. You, my friend, are responsible for the flame of freedom. We'll be right back after this. Thanks for joining us here. I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and Viewpoint Determines Destiny. It's going to be a very special program here. I hope you'll stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today we look at the flame of freedom. Is the flame of freedom rising high, or is it actually degenerating into mere embers? Well, I guess it depends on your viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. And I received today an email from my friend Denny Green. Denny Green is from the broader area of Richmond, Virginia. He's been involved in a very diligent way in trying to protect against the butchering of America's children in their parents' wombs. He said, today, that's this day, friends, today I will be sentenced for my role in a March 2021 rescue at an abortion clinic in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. Our sentencing is in Nashville in federal court. One of my co-dependents, Paul Vaughn, was sentenced yesterday. He received 6 months house arrest and 3 years probation. Three of us will be sentenced today. We're facing up to a maximum of 10.5 years in federal prison, along with $260,000 in fines. Saving babies has gotten costly in the U.S., so pray also that we would be faithful with what we tell the court during sentencing and that God would receive much glory. I dare say that that has already become a matter of record, and I just haven't heard the response yet. But you see, freedom is not free. How can we say that the flame of freedom is rising high when since 1973 we have personally and intentionally executed 65 million of America's babies? Now, if life is the foundation of liberty, you see the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. Without life, there's no pursuit of happiness, right? So we've undermined the very foundation of freedom, which is rooted in life. This is a serious issue for us. And all over America, for many, many years, the battles have been raging over this issue. Would the Declaration of Independence actually really be rooted in life? Life that was given by God and not by government? I'd like to take you on a little journey. Back in 1996, I was so overwhelmed with concern about what was happening in our country. This was shortly after we had formed Save America Ministries in 1993 as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation, America's greatest crisis hour. And I was so overwhelmed with what I saw happening. My wife took concern over me. She saw that it was affecting my attitude, my life, my physical being. And she said, Chuck, you've got to get out of here and hear from God. So she took it upon herself to get me out of our situation and located a place called Prayer Mountain on the northern slopes of Pikes Peak in Colorado, right outside in Colorado. And I went there for a week of prayer and fasting. During that week of prayer and fasting was birthed a document that began as an open letter to the church and its leadership in America. It ultimately took the form of a lawsuit, Jehovah God, the Lord of Nations versus the spiritual leaders of America, a.k.a. are also known as pastors, parachurch leaders, broadcasters, authors, and publishers alike. It was set forth in five actually legal causes of action, not filed in the courts, of men, but in the courts of the Lord, so to speak, symbolically. It was served on 300 of the most prominent Christian leaders in the land from coast to coast. But before that happened, before that document was actually drafted, I concluded that week of prayer and fasting and made my final destination Pikes Peak, called America's Mountain. What is Pikes Peak? Pikes Peak is called America's Mountain because it's right in the heartland of America, and it's the place where Catherine Lee Bates wrote the famous song, America the Beautiful. She was born and raised in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. A professor at Wellesley College in Massachusetts, she traveled 2,000 miles across the continent to teach in Colorado in the summer of 1893. And she was totally stunned by the Rocky Mountains and inspired almost instantly to record the incredible experience of seeing the United States from those new heights. And thus she wrote, America the Beautiful. I'd like for you to hear some of the strains of America the Beautiful. In fact, some have said it should have been our national anthem. Today on this program, we will hear America the Beautiful, and we will hear a most astounding rendition of our national anthem. But we're going to tie it all together. Catherine Lee Bates called America the Beautiful a spiritual call to unity, a hymn to God. Listen with your heart. From sea to shining sea. Well, we know that verse, but most people do not know the other verses of that beautiful hymn. And they actually go to the very heart of the matter. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern, impassioned stress, a thoroughfare of freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm your soul in self-control, your liberty in law. Wow. That would bring a restoration of the flame of freedom, if only we honored it. God mend thine every flaw, confirm your soul in self-control in a selfie world. Your liberty in law and not in lawlessness. We've actually redefined law, haven't we? It's the right to do whatever I want to do, wherever I want to do, to whomever I want to do it, and even the United States government is carrying it out that way. Snuffing out the flame of freedom. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. Notice the focus of America the Beautiful was not on the spacious skies. It was on the flame of freedom in the heart. You see, the heart of the matter is always the heart. And the heart of the matter was first established not in 1776, but in 1607, in 1620 at Plymouth, and in 1630 at the Massachusetts Bay Colony. In fact, so much so that in their book, Habits of the Heart, written by six Berkeley professors back in the 1980s, they determined, after looking at the entire history of America, that the thread of the Puritans and their landing in 1630 and the ramifications of that were so profound in the life of this country that they said that thread was the most important or one of the most important threads in the very history of our country. And they said it may very well be the clearest statement of the American vision ever penned. Wow. And it was actually written by a lawyer. His name was John Winthrop. He brought over 4 boatloads of Puritans from not-so-jolly old England there in 1630, and because they were outside the Virginia Charter, they had to form their own constitution, so to speak. And so he penned it on board the Arabella, and it's called a model of Christian charity. So profound is that motto that these educators, professors at Berkeley University there in California said that that statement, the model of Christian charity, was perhaps the clearest statement of the American vision ever penned. Whatever happened to that? Because that's what set the flame of freedom in our country. That's what underlay everything. And it was only 170 years later that the political birthday of the country took place. Now, 248 years ago. So where are we going now? How is it that we have drifted so very far? That's one of the questions before us. How is it that we have drifted so very far? What would you say? How could such a thing have happened? I'd like for you to get a copy of my book, Renewing the Soul of America. I think it would be very encouraging to you here as we're celebrating the 248th political birthday of our country. There's nothing wrong with being a patriot. I think I have been a consummate patriot all my life. Even from my earliest age, 10 years of age, I knew almost all the patriotic songs of America. Almost all of them. And I still remember them today, and I remember them with great favor. I thrill to see, oh glory, paint the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge thee my allegiance, America the bold, for this is my country to have and to hold. But I don't hold my country higher than the God who made and preserved us a nation. You see, if we really were honest about our history, and even about our national anthem, we might see things a little bit differently than we do today. At every sporting event, we dutifully sing the national anthem. There's nothing wrong with that, whether it's a baseball game, whether it's a track meet, whether it's whatever it happens to be, the national anthem, and people take their hats off, they put their hand over their heart, and so on. But then they forget. It's easy to forget the foundations of freedom. As the scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations have been gradually destroyed over the past 50, 60 years. I've watched it happen from coast to coast, beginning as a public school teacher for 9 years during the Vietnam War in Southern California, and then as a practicing attorney for 20 years in Southern California. And since then, forming Save America Ministries and speaking all over the country, and 19 years on the radio here and looking what's happening not only in the nation as a whole, but in God's own house. It's like the God who made and preserved us a nation can't even recognize his own house these days. With leaders falling away morally and spiritually, the flame of freedom, friends, is flickering out. And the only hope for the flame of freedom to be reignited is through you and through me. If I would have freedom, I must live the flame of freedom, which begins in the heart, which begins in my relationship with the Lord. We'll be right back after this to hear one of the most magnificent renditions of the national anthem ever.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
If America's soul is to be renewed, my soul must be renewed. In my book, Renewing the Soul of America, endorsed by 38 national Christian leaders, Chapter 18 is called A Hope and a Purpose. Heritage that we honor in the past, a godly heritage, without purpose in the present, destroys our hope for the future. And if our hope for the future is destroyed, the flame of freedom and liberty is gone. So the connecting link between heritage and hope is purpose. Heritage in the past without purpose in the present destroys hope for the future. And it's, I think, at that point of purpose that our hearts make connection with our heritage. But many have completely forgotten the heritage, or have turned their back on it, or have pretended that it was nothing but damaging to the world. When purpose is either forgotten or abandoned, we lose heart. And a people who have lost heart have lost hope. So how did we ever get here? Did we ever have a national purpose? Could we identify that purpose? Might it define our destiny? In my book, Renewing the Soul of America, Chapter 18, A Hope and a Purpose, sets forth what that purpose was, and it's undeniable. We've just forgotten it. Just forgotten it. As Woodrow Wilson said, a nation that does not remember what it is does not know what it was or even what it's trying to do. If a nation doesn't know what it was, it doesn't know what it is or even what it's trying to do. Get a copy of the book, Renewing the Soul of America. It'll encourage your heart, I believe. It's an $18 book, yours for $15. On our website, saveus.org, that's saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, that's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, I indicated to you that we were going to hear one of the most glorious renditions of our national anthem ever sung, I do believe. It's not Whitney Houston. No, that was glorious. It's Sandy Patty. And we're going to hear from her in just a moment. But before we do, I want to draw our attention to how that national anthem came to be. It was written by a lawyer, Francis Scott Key, who took the risk to go out into the bay there and the Chesapeake Bay and to try to negotiate a resolution for people that had been taken captive by the British. So he was out there as the bombs bursted in air in the middle of the night, and he awoke in the morning, and the fog of the battle was still out there, and the flag there was still standing, and he wrote the national anthem. But we don't know the most important verses of that national anthem. So let me share with you one of those. Oh, thus be it ere when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. Then the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. You see, Francis Scott Key was a Christian man. He gave us our national motto. As a lawyer, he gave us our national motto, in God we trust. He gave us our national anthem, the majority, the most important part of which we never sing. Oh, we glory in the magnificence of the song, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, and so on. That's a different one, but it's like a national anthem. We sing that one as well. But I'd like you to listen to Sandy Patty as she shares. We'll not listen to the whole of it because it's quite long, but I'd like you to listen with your heart as Sandy Patty rings out the Star-Spangled Banner.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof
It's somewhat breathtaking. There's a glory in that. A true patriot. But the reality is that if we are a true patriot, as our founders said, we would be encouraging virtue in the land. And virtue, they said, came from the word of God. It's interesting because Robert Winthrop, one of the earlier founders in the early 1800s, said, we will either be governed by a power without or by a power within, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. Wow. In other words, we'll either be governed by the authority of God, who is our king, or by the bayonet, because we're refusing him, and man is waging war against God and all that God has created. You remember after the American Revolution, George Washington was so popular, first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen, said one congressman, and they wanted to make him king. Here they had just gotten rid of King George and his oppression, and now they wanted to make George Washington king, like Israel, you see. God wanted to be Israel's king. And they said no to the prophet Samuel. We want a king just like everybody else. We want to be just like everybody else. Samuel said, no, you really don't. You have no idea what it's going to be like to have a king reign over you. God wants to reign over you. Just trust him. And they said, no, we'll have a king. At the American Revolution, the people finally decided to go against Israel's claim, and they said, we have no king but Jesus. They rejected George Washington as king, received him as president, and said, we have no king but Jesus. Who's your king? We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Where is the flame of freedom today? Where is freedom's holy light? Perhaps you remember the song, America, Our Father's God, to thee, sweet land of liberty. To thee we sing, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. So if they rejected George Washington as king, and they said we have no king but Jesus in the days of colonial America, what are we saying today? We have any king but Jesus today. In fact, what we're really saying is we're king. We live in a totally selfie world. We're king. It's exactly like the Apostle Paul said it was going to be in the end times. As he wrote his letter to Timothy, he said, there are going to be some very perilous times. And then he began to describe the times that look exactly like our times. So our land is not bright with freedom's holy light right now. Why? Do we have standing even to come before the God who made us, preserved us a nation, and cry, protect us by thy might, great God, our King? If he's our King, that would mean that we were his subjects, right? And if we were his subjects, it would mean that we would obey him. We would do what his will is, just like Jesus did. Jesus said, my will is to do the will of him that sent me. So we would do that, wouldn't we? And especially within our churches, within those who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, who Jesus said were the light of the world, but then he also turned around and he said, but if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So if we want to find out whatever happened to the light of freedom, we need to look first in God's house. Not in the schoolhouse, not in the White House, not in the courthouse, but in your house and in mine. Our country, friends, whether you realize it or not, is being severely tossed and buffeted by the howling winds on the sea of relativity out there. We haven't quite capsized, but we're about to. And even though the line to the anchor of truth has grown threadbare, it hasn't completely broken yet, and we've not yet run completely aground. There's a faint, though flickering, glimmer from the lighthouse that can still be seen through the fog. And in the words of one of America's favorite gospel songs, if it weren't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? So where will this ship called America be if the light in the church house of America does not again blaze brightly and broadly and quickly? Even as the nation is we the people, so the church is merely people. Those of us who profess to be the sons and daughters of God, the Father, through faith in Christ, we've been called the light of the world, but as Jesus said, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So, if we want to see the light of freedom spring forth again in the land of the free that's increasingly becoming only the home of the brave, we're going to have to take heed to God's warning in his own house. So, as I said in my book, Renewing the Soul of America, a living, vibrant, Bible-believing but God-obeying church that stands against the tide of popular culture, disbelief, technological idolatry, and self-exaltation is America's only true hope. Only such people who themselves turn can again begin the timely turning of a nation that is plunging blindly full speed ahead to her destruction. May the light in the lighthouse be turned on once again, blazing the light of God's truth from sea to shining sea, and may it begin with you and with me. So I ask a question. Can a nation shipwreck? Can a nation shipwreck? I believe it can. I believe that we're heading in that direction very, very rapidly. So rapidly that it's breathtaking. Today, I received an article, America's All-Out Religious War. Just below the surface of today's increasingly wild and often outright insane political, electoral, and cultural scene, America is being ripped apart by a massive and ever-expanding religious war. The astonishing reality of what is actually occurring just below most Americans' radar is an actual religious war raging through the land, which will explain not only the explosion of anti-Israel, anti-Jewish hatred, but a great deal more, in fact, everything that we're seeing. The war now raging in America is not only spiritual, good versus evil, as most awake people now fully realize, it also manifests as actual religions warring with one another. On one side are arrayed two Bible-based religions that gave America its core, Judeo-Christian values, Christianity and Judaism. But they, in turn, are under total attack by two other religions that have joined forces for the specific purpose of defeating them, namely Islam and Marxism. What we're facing, friends, in America today is massive spiritual warfare. At the time of the American Revolution, it was political warfare. We were under the dominion of Great Britain, considered to be an oppressive dominion. At the time of the Civil War, it was a battle for human dignity before God. Now, it is the final war of history, a massive spiritual war, testing whether this nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure, as Abraham Lincoln said. The future is defined by whether or not the flame of freedom will be reignited. I want you to listen very carefully to the words of this beautiful song, Hold the Flame of Freedom High, as we round out our program here today that I hope was somewhat inspirational to you. Please listen carefully with your heart.
Will one light make a difference in this world? Can a lonely light chase the night, I wonder? One voice crying out be heard. Will they ever hear my simple words? I wonder. The doubts I'm feeling we all have known, but I've learned throughout the years. It is not by might, it is not by power, it is God alone. Just bring the name of Jesus, light a candle in the night. Just bring the name of Jesus.
Flame of freedom will only be held high as you and I hold it high through the way we live, through the attitudes of our hearts, through what we say we believe lived out in righteous reality rather than displayed in hypocrisy. If we would see freedom, we must be freedom. If we would see the light, we must be the light. Jesus said, "While I'm here, I am the light of the world." Then he turned around and he said, "Now you are the light of the world because I'm ascending back to the Father." But he said, "If the light that is in you be darkness, then how great is that darkness?" Freedom is not free. You got to pay the price, you got to sacrifice for your liberty, as it has been said. That's true. But the freedom that God promises, that is promised through Jesus Christ, not only to you and to me, but to the whole world, is a freedom that requires our submission to his word, his will, and his ways. And so the scripture says, "So be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We got a lot of preaching going on out there these days. We've got mega churches planted all over this country. But in many respects, we're not doers of the word. In fact, the most hated word in the church today among professing Christians, by the admission of pastor after pastor after pastor on this program, is the word obey. You see, if we won't obey the Lord, then how can we expect anybody else to obey the law? Think about that. And this is the reason why John Adams, our second president, said, "Our government was made for a moral and Christian people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Because it was designed to be a government that would first have a people governed by God, that would live virtuously. So our leaders also said, if you would be the greatest patriot of all, you would lead the people to live virtuous lives. In other words, lives in accordance with the word, will, and way of God. Question, do you? Don't answer too quickly. Don't answer too quickly. Because as professing Christians all across the country, we've become very conformed to the ways of this world. And so we're exhorted, be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then we would see the flame of freedom high again. Thanks for joining us. Get a copy of the book, Renewing the Soul of America. $15 will put it in your hands. It will encourage your heart. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA and lift the flame of freedom high in and through your life.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.